Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It is 36 degrees outside. It's sunny, and it feels like baseball weather. Twins have started their season down in Fort Myers. They won their first game yesterday, 3-1 over the Atlanta Braves. But I ask you this as I'm looking through the roster and kind of pouring through some things this week. With minimal moves this offseason, and I think it's fair to say they made minimal moves this offseason. With minimal moves, is this team, as we look to start 2025, is this team a better team than we had to start 2024? Always the positive one. I will say yes. I do think that this team is better as we start 2025. I will say that with a caveat that I think, as usual, health is going to be a big issue. But, I mean, you look at this rotation, and let's just start there, guys. You look at this rotation, the starting five on paper. Pablo Lopez is your ace. Bailey Ober, Joe Ryan, Simeon Wood Richardson, Chris Paddock, hopefully Zebby Matthews at some point. Three of the five pitchers are in the top 25 for preseason, at least for fantasy projection. The top five pitchers are in the top 25 pitchers in the league. Three in the rotation. Joe Ryan's 18, Bailey Ober 19, Pablo Lopez 21. So I ask you, Pete, and I ask you at home, hit us up on the WCCO Talk and text line, 651-461-9226. Are the Twins better off to start 2025? I say yes, Pete. How are you?
I'm doing great, and by the way, you sound great, Dave. Last week, I
thank
know
you.
You were struggling, man. You were
rumors
almost,
of my.
Well, you were almost on
rumors
IR.
Rumors of my death have been greatly exaggerated, in the words of Mark Twain.
No, but in all honesty, you sound great, and I'm happy to hear that. I agree with you. I think when you look at the Twins from the pitching, and that's, I think, where everybody always likes to start, and I think we should start there. But you just named off what we've got, and I'll even throw in, how about a Griffin Jacks or somebody like that, too, in relief?
Yep.
We do have that. Now, I think the very first thing you said, though, is health. That is what matters. And you know, it's ironic, isn't it, that it's the Lee Health Sports Complex down there? I mean, it's it really has been about, can the Twins stay healthy? And we know that there are multiple names out there that you could go with. Is it Royce Lewis? Is it Buxton? Is it Correa, who's had a little bit? And Correa's gotten a little bit older, obviously. We've talked about that. But he's such a great player, Dave. I like what the Twins bring to the table for 2025. But they still have to execute. They still have to figure out how do they stay healthy and basically find out – more and more about what this pitching staff really does look like, you know, once we get into the real part of the season, not just this springtime. But
right. It's
nice to be able to start off, you know, 1-0, right? I mean, that's the way you want to start, and it's great. and they've got some games coming up. It's amazing to me that we're already there. And I'm going to be down there next week. Hopefully I'll be there from maybe the stadium or something like that. But
look
down
at
in Fort
you.
Myers. Well, you know.
Live remotes from Florida.
You know, last year it was with Vanita and that whole mm-hmm. crew from the morning show, and it was great. And I think it might be fun to do the show from down there. Maybe, shoot, maybe we even get a couple of the players down there if the guy across from me
nice?
can book these guys up. I don't know. What does it look like, Josh?
Josh, you going to get us a Twins guest next week?
To be determined. I love parades, so get ready for one this October.
Oh,
I can't wait.
Parades.
Let's take a look at the Central, though.
Mm. Yes.
You have Cleveland. Yeah. You have Detroit, which they had kind of a fairy tale season, or a fairy tale run in the mm-hmm. postseason. And you have Kansas City, but you have the White Sox, which... Yeah, not great. Just to put it mildly, they set a record. And you have the Twins. And let's not talk about payroll, because the Twins are...
Still about $10 million under, right?
Yeah, the Twins are... The White Sox are way above the Twins in payroll. They're actually, I think, top of the Central as far as payroll. Maybe Cleveland has maybe more.
The White Sox.
Yeah.
Well, they needed
and they
to
still,
be. They were so bad
they
last
still
year.
Lost just about every game last season. And everybody wanted to blame it on, oh, the Twins cut payroll. It's a money thing. No, we are second to bottom, or maybe even the bottom of the. I haven't looked at the numbers yet, but we're not. We don't have There's only a few teams that have more money than us, less. I'm saying it backwards here. My fault.
Something about money.
No, okay.
What is happening?
I need more coffee. The one team that I believe is above the Twins in payroll mm-hmm. is the White Sox, the team that finished last. Everybody else has less money than us. So let's stop blaming it on the fact that the Twins don't have money to spend on players and blaming the money aspect of the game when it's an injury and underperformance narrative. That's all. That's what it is.
It's absolutely underperformance.
Yeah.
And I think I was reading. We'll have Dan Hayes on next segment from The Athletic, and I want to talk to him about this in the sense of we kind of started to notice it. I don't know. I did at least at the end of the season last year.
Oh yeah.
A different Rocco Baldelli. Did you notice the change in him? He's a player's manager, happy-go-lucky guy, very existential, very prophetic. And then near the end of the season last year, we got some of these comments. This is disappointing. We're not playing like professionals. We need to be better. And now he's gone and changed the way preseason training camp is. And you have a new hitting coach. Everyone's got to take BP. Everyone's got to do the running bases. They've shifted practice times. I think, and I want to ask Dan this, I think Rocco Baldelli is just a little bit harder this year. And he should be. This is year 7, I think, for him.
Mm-hmm.
Of some, and the large part of those, I think, have been disappointing finishes. Last year was definitely one of them. As someone points out on the WCCO talk and text line, the worst collapse in Major League history. Mm-hmm. Yes, it was. They're also calling us a Twins kiss butt, which...
What?
Boy, I don't know if you listen to the show enough. Because
yeah.
We don't do that often, I'll tell you that.
No, and we tanked in the second half of the season.
We did.
We're
it was
first
an epic
ones.
Meltdown.
Yeah, we talked about that. And I think if Rocco is doing what I think he's trying to implement now, which is, hey, look, the friendship thing is done. We're gonna be a little bit tougher on you guys. We're going to make sure that everybody is mentally and physically there. And I think that's really the basis of the whole thing of what Rocco's mm-hmm. doing is they've got to have healthy players, but they've also yes. got to have guys who want to get there, that want to finish it right. And the second half of the season last year, it was exactly the opposite. It was just basically circling the drain, right? I mean, it was awful the way we finished the second half.
Well, you got to have depth. And you know, these Twins fans that think, okay, it's the off season, let's go out and spend the most money on any free agent we can get. That's not the problem. The problem is your depth. The problem is if Byron Buxton goes down before this year, you had a huge drop-off. So you go out and you get Harrison Bader. Now, I don't know if he's going to play. He'll back up center. Maybe he goes to right. There's a bit of a hole out there in right field. But you, and now you have guys like Brooks Lee pushing in the infield. Miranda pushing in the infield. You know, these, but you have to have that depth. And that's what the Twins have been missing. They're always one injury away from complete collapse. But even in the rotation now, you're not just one injury away.
By the way, I do have the numbers in front of me here.
Yeah, go ahead, John.
Twins, they're first in the Central as far as payroll. They're 17th in the league.
Wow.
Detroit is right behind them at 18. Kansas City is at 20. And down almost near the bottom is the White Sox. So we, as of the updated 2025 payroll looks right now, we have the top amount of payroll in our division. So the payroll isn't the issue with this team we've talked about. It's just people not stepping up when we need them. We got rid of Max Kepler because he was underperforming. So there's a good example of that.
And Alex Kirilloff retired.
Yes.
Those who think that payroll is the be-all and end-all, why don't you go ask the New York Mets? Okay, and I'm a Mets fan. They spend the most, at least I grew up a Mets fan. They spend the most money each year. $317 million was their total payroll last year.
Stevie Cohen opens up the bills.
They didn't make the World Series. They were terrible.
Yeah.
They were terrible.
And Juan Soto's not going to bring you a ring.
They were third in a what's that?
I said, and Juan Soto is not going to bring them a ring. So getting one big player is not going to start your parade route in New York in Queens.
We've said this so many times. Baseball is different than other sports because it's such a long season. You've got to have a full complement of guys. You cannot just pay the most amount of money and that equals wins. It doesn't. Does it help? Sure, because you got higher top end guys, but they have to stay healthy. You go ask the New York Mets how that return on investment was last year, right? $317 million got him third place in a bad NL East. So big deal with that. Dan Hayes is going to join us next from The Athletic. We're going to chat about twin spring training, and I want to ask him if the vibe is different this year with Rocco Baldelli. Is it a little bit harder? Is there some more urgency to camp down in Fort Myers? We'll talk to Dan Hayes from The Athletic coming up next. Twin season is underway. Dan Hayes covers the Twins for The Athletic. He's joining us this morning on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Dan, good morning. I want to start first with this ownership update this week. I don't know how to pronounce his last name. Is it Ishbia or Ishbia?
Yeah, Ishbia. Yeah,
Ishbia, who decided he'd rather go have a stake in the Chicago White Sox than the Twins, which is really interesting. I'm not a business guy, but that seems interesting. What was the sticking point in this deal not happening? And are you convinced, at least, and I know that they had always been talking about opening day as possibly having new leadership, do you think that this is still a possibility of new leadership by then?
No, I don't think new leadership will be by opening day. I think this puts a little bit of a wrench in that. I still think there's interest in the team, but look, this was a dance partner they were a little bit down the road with, and this is a wrench in that plan at this point. 6 weeks ago, talking to people involved in the sale, it was pretty clear that they felt like opening day was going to happen. But the thing was, at that time, the White Sox were not available to Justin Ishbia. And he's got a minority stake already in the White Sox. He lives in Winnetka, which is a suburb right by Evanston. He's building the biggest house in the history of Illinois right now, currently. He bought up three neighbors' plots, essentially, tore down the houses, and it's like, just making this massive mansion. He wants to live there. And so the White Sox, when they saw that he was engaged with the Twins, finally were like, hey, look, we should talk about this. Because, look, Jerry Reinsdorf isn't going anywhere for now. But his sons do want to sell this team after he passes. And he's 89 on Tuesday. So this is sort of a succession plan. Even though the White Sox are declining the idea that is in place, there's got to be a handshake deal. Because Justin Ishbia wants to control a team. He wants to own a team. The Twins look good. This is an attractive team to buy, but he's already entrenched there. And, you know, from a business perspective, the White Sox have so much more potential upward. It's a huger market, a much bigger market. If they get the new stadium and they can get I covered the White Sox from 2012 to 17. The problem is nobody wanted to go to Guaranteed Rate Ballpark, the Cell, Comiskey, whatever you want to call it. it's just not a draw. The neighborhood around it, you know, the nightlife at Wrigley is fun. The nightlife, the fans go there, and there are, you know, hundreds of places to go to before the game and after the game. The guaranteed rate doesn't have that. And so the idea that they can...
You don't want to be there after dark.
True.
And I think that, you know, if they can fund a stadium, you know, think about how much that franchise value is going to skyrocket. And he's going to be part of that because his money right now, as he's purchasing all these shares, will probably go directly to a new stadium. And they need, they're not going to get publicly funded the way that they did when they built Comiskey the second time. So it makes a lot of sense. And when you look at all those factors, and it certainly is just, it's kind of difficult for the Twins. I mean, look, the Twins were going to have this owner with big pockets potentially come in, and now he's going to a division rival that has the potential to become a monster. And I think this is probably bad news for the AL Central.
Dan, would they be moving? Do you think that they would move somewhere up north? Because I know Chicago very well, lived there for about 10 or 15 years, and I can tell you where he's building that massive house that you're talking about that's almost as big as a stadium. He's going to want to probably be relatively close, right, to be able to get to the park and all the rest of that.
Why not just tear down his own house and put the stadium there?
Just put the stadium.
Right on the lakefront, right?
Why not? Crazier things have happened.
Yeah, exactly. No, you know what? Look, last year there was a parcel of land called the 78 that got introduced right along the Chicago River. Whether they can get that, there was talk about them getting that. That'd be interesting. But, you know, there's talk that the Chicago Fire is going to get that instead. Beyond that, you know, the Bears are once again reengaged with Arlington Heights and getting out of Soldier Field. You know, if Soldier Field was abandoned, boy, that would be a great place for a baseball stadium with a retractable dome to put up, you know. This is a real estate purchase, right? This is not a baseball team. It's a baseball team plus what the baseball team gets you. And everybody has these visions now of putting up a hotel right next door like the Rangers did with their new Texas Live arrangement. And there's a bunch of bars and music halls right next to the stadium. That's what they want to do. They need to make a new Wrigleyville for the White Sox. And frankly, you know, that sounds very appealing. You just couldn't get fans to come to that ballpark consistently unless it was a winning team. The Cubs get fans regardless if they're good or not. They'll get 30,000 people because, hey, it's summertime in the Midwest, and we can go out to the bars afterwards. We can go to restaurants afterwards. And so I very much understand why he would go with the White Sox. The Twins already have their ballpark. And, you know, unless whatever the site is right above Target Field, a little bit north of it, unless that goes away, there's really not a lot of real estate to build around there. And, you know, that would be interesting if that was gone. And maybe a new owner could build there and put some stuff up there. But, you know, there's definitely more potential with Chicago.
Dan Hayes from The Athletic joining us on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. Dan, I read your article this week about kind of the practice structure changing. Rocco Baldelli seems a bit more – does he seem a bit more harder? I mean, this is year, I think, 7 for him. Does he have a different aura about him this week?
I think it's just reacting to the personnel he has. This is a team – you know, you think about it when he came along in 2019. He had Nelson Cruz to police the clubhouse, and everybody listened to Nelson Cruz. Beyond that, you know, Byron Buxton, Max Kepler, Mitch Garver, all those guys had a little bit of major league experience at that point, and they were not – They were established a bit when Rocco came in. You're looking at Royce Lewis, still has no full season to his name. Trevor Larnach just finally had his first full season last year. Eddie Julian has been up and down. Matt Wallner has been up and down. So I think this is just looking at your roster and saying, hey, we have a lot of young guys who are still trying to find their way. And they do have some leaders without question, but I think the things they saw last year, they want to change, and hands-on is a good way to do it. You know, we were asking about being a taskmaster, and I don't think Rocco's personality is going to change so much as the rules he's put in place and is going to uphold a little bit more, and it's a lot more mandatory stuff. And when you see the veterans excited about that, that's a good thing for the Twins. You know, Carlos Correa is talking about being involved in team workouts. He loves to hit indoors in the cages. He prefers to do that. It's where he gets some of his best work in. But he's going to be out on the field for batting practice quite a bit just because he knows the other guys need to see him doing it too. And I think they're going to try and do a lot more things as a team and, you know, just be on the same page. I think that's something we saw early in the year last year. They got off that 7-13 start. They were, it just didn't seem like the Twins were playing their best baseball to start this, the season. And obviously we saw the end. So I think they're trying to do anything they can to kind of change how they go into late March, early April.
Dan, real quick, and I know you got to run as well. So my question is this: what do the Twins go for? The range is $1.5 billion to $2 billion, and who's going to buy them?
I think 1.6. That's my guess. I think that's what a reasonable price for them is. And who buys them? I don't know. There are definitely some names that we're starting to hear a little bit, but they're, you know, nothing's concrete. But I do think that there's still interest in it. It just might take midsummer. It might, you know, they have to regroup, and they can say they're not starting from square one again, but I think that they are, you know, having to re-engage people that they were talking to before at less serious levels and start them down that path now. And so that's going to take a little time, but I do think there's interest.
Dan Hayes from The Athletic, appreciate your time. How warm is it down there today?
I don't make me the bad guy. Come on.
I want to live through you. We want to live vicariously through you.
75, huh?
Well, I will say it was like 60 when I woke up, and it's warming up, and it's going to be like 73, 74. There's a nice breeze.
That's amazing.
It's yesterday was actually freezing. Yesterday was 49 when we – and I know this sounds terrible. It was 49 and windy and like whipping wind, and when you're like here, that's very cold because you're just used to 85. So it's going to be a nice week.
I'll see you next Sunday.
I'm glad you were able to persevere through that. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks as always.
All right. Dan Hayes from The Athletic. Great stuff that he wrote about this week about the Twins. And you can continue to read his stuff as always. We'll take a break, come back, and do the fast break. You're listening to The Huddle. He's still wearing sleeveless. Even the sun's out.
I'm sleeveless right now.
Atta boy, Pete.
Oh, man.
Did he say shirtless or sleeveless?
No, not shirtless.
Yeah, take your shirt off.
Great.
Pete, wow. It was announced yesterday via our guy Collar, of course, among other people on X or Twitter.
Love Collar.
Yes, great guy.
Yep.
The Rams, the Los Angeles Rams of Anaheim, they are giving permission to Stafford and his agent to explore other teams. We talked about this off air, but my top prediction for where we could see Sam Darnold is L.A. Pete, where do you see Matt Stafford possibly headed, or could the Rams end up retaining him?
I think they most likely end up wanting to pay him the money that he's looking for. But let's not forget, if he goes to the Giants, he changes that franchise around in a hurry. And he's got his brother-in-law as the quarterback coach there. So that kind of all kind of pieces together pretty nicely, I think, for Stafford at the end of his career. If they've got enough on defense and enough talent on offense, I think he would be willing to at least consider going to the Giants.
Dave.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, no. Jets.
He's not going to the Jets.
It is a possibility.
I'm telling you. They have the room, I believe, right? Don't they have room?
Oh, sure. Sure.
And I think Matthew Stafford would love to be in New York. I see. I'm telling you. J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets. He's a way better locker room guy than Aaron Rodgers. He's more talented. I think that team – and it instantly makes that team a contender.
How about the Giants, though, guys? I mean, he's got the tie-in with his brother-in-law, right?
I want to know what Pete defines as a guy that can change the Giants organization because – I don't know. You just had Daniel Jones on your team, and they said he was going to change the organization. Saquon Barkley, via Hard Knocks, we learned was going to change the organization, but the ownership didn't want to keep him.
Right. They didn't want to pay him.
So what defines a player as changing the Giants organization? Because that seems like Mission Impossible.
Well, he could turn them back into that whole world of what the Giants were back in the days of Lawrence Taylor and some of the rest of these guys. They haven't had a quarterback. Think about this: who has been their quarterback? He can't even hardly name him. Right?
Nobody can fill Eli's shoes yet.
Since Eli. The Giants have more money too. Looking at the
they've got room.
The cap here.
They've got the cap room. Yep, and that cap. We'll talk about that later.
So do the Patriots.
Yep.
Patriots also have money,
too. They got Drake May, though.
Yeah, it's true. We'll see. 25 games left, Dave. We'll be chatting with Jesse Pierce at Bar Down Beauties podcast and NHL.com in just a little while. So I ask you this. The team, even into the break, kind of had some grittiness to them despite injuries. And, of course, Kirill Kaprizov's out. Yesterday was a gutsy win. Are the Minnesota Wild back, Dave?
I think they are. I'll be realistic about you know whether this team has enough to be hoisting a Stanley Cup this year. I think that's a tough, might be a bit of a stretch. But I mean, more than every time that you think this team is going to slip or falter without somebody, they seem to pick it up. And now they're winning games. Again, it's Detroit, so I get it. Like, Detroit's not the toughest team in the Eastern Conference. I think they are. They're the first wild card team. So they're no joke. And they're winning games without Kirill Kaprizov. That's the big thing. And you're getting scoring from Marco Rossi. Has to be the most improved player on this team this year. Although
back-to-back years.
Others,
last year and this year, he's made strides.
Been amazing.
Yeah.
The Vinny Hinostroza, who scored again yesterday, a beautiful goal. I mean, they get him off waivers. You know, they're picking up these guys that are just contributing, which is great. So I do think that they get a spot. Right now they're third in the West behind Dallas and Winnipeg. But those are the two teams that are going to be really, really tough. You've got the Jets, who have arguably the best goaltender in all of hockey, in Connor Hellebuck. And they've got 83 points right now.
I mean, Hinostroza, by the way, fresh off the airplane, scored in the Nashville game.
He scored in his first game. And I mean, how could you be any better? This guy, and I'm going to forget where he came from.
He's from Nashville, but we played New Jersey or something that day. Yeah.
So wherever they are, they hope that they're going to hide him on waivers, and we swoop in. Minnesota swoops in and picks him up, and he ends up being a great contributor. And that's exactly what you need, especially at a time where Ryan Hartman is serving a suspension for 10 games. So, I think they're contenders. I think they're certainly contenders in the West. I just don't know.
We just need to get healthy, right? I mean, all these injuries, they just keep stacking up and stacking up. And yet, they continue to be somewhere in the mix. Are they at the front? No, they're not in the front. Are they in the back? Absolutely not. But they have been winning games, I think, more often than anybody would have ever expected, given how many guys are hurt right now on this team and sitting on IR.
And we talk about depth. I mean, that's what you want to do. You want to come out of the gate as fast as you can in the beginning and pile up those wins so that when you do have the slump, and there's going to be slumps in every season, everyone does, you can weather the storm, and they've done that.
I'm going to put my foot, my size 14/15 size Nike on the ground.
You have a size 15?
That's a big foot.
Man. Yeah,
jeez.
Yeah. It compensates for other things. I'm going to say that this is the most – I'm trying to think of the word. Like, this is courageous. This team has the most perseverance out of any Wild team that we've had so far. Because injuries plague this team all the time, every season, and we always seem to falter at some point. And this has been almost a full season of battling injuries, and we've maintained that mid to top spot. It's incredible how top scale this team has been.
I also think it's worthwhile here that John Hines has done a remarkable job with his team coaching. Mm. Yeah. I don't know if he gets enough
Team
credit.
Team USA. I mean, you need to be a part of that group.
Yeah.
He comes in last year and takes over and manages to try as best he can to keep the things afloat just to get to the offseason. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's constantly tinkering with line changes and switching things up. And I don't think enough can be said for the job that he's done this year.
Coach of the year.
Yeah, possibly. Possibly. Pete, there are a decent amount of big-name coaches on the board as far as being on the hot seat in college football. We are just weeks away from spring ball, except unless you play at Nebraska. They're not doing a spring game. I'm going to give you some names. You tell me who is most likely to be here and most likely to be here, one most likely gone, or maybe all stay put that I list off here. You ready?
Okay.
Lincoln Riley with USC. Mm-hmm. My guy, Brent Venables with Oklahoma.
Yep.
Mike Norvell at Florida State. Luke Fickell with Wisconsin or Mike Gundy at Oklahoma State? Do you think is there one that stays, one that leaves, or do you think all those stay put?
I think every one of them stay put. The only question mark for me would be USC with Lincoln Riley, just because it hasn't worked. It has not worked. They brought him in. He doesn't like to recruit California. He only knows Texas and Oklahoma, and it's a problem. I mean, it really is a problem. I look at that USC team, and they just don't impress you, and I think of the rest of them, though, I look at Oklahoma State. I look at some of the other schools. I think these guys are permanently going to be there. They're there until they want to leave.
Mike Gundy, especially.
Yeah, Mike Gundy's a heck of a guy. Yeah. Really
Gundy's
is.
Been there forever.
Yeah. He's loved, man.
He's a man. He's not 40. Yeah.
Do you? I was just going to ask you. You've heard that quote? That's one of my favorites.
Pete, have you heard of
Pete? Mike Gundy?
I don't know.
His post game comp. We'll
some of those are the best ever.
You've got to find it. Yeah. Can we play it at the end of the show here?
Oh, for sure. Okay. For sure.
I'm with you, Pete. I think most of those guys are lifers where they are. If you can't recruit at USC when you've got California, and by the way, you're going up against UCLA at this point, which is, I mean, Deshaun Foster just began the season by telling everyone where LA was. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can't recruit California and beat UCLA for some of these players, good luck.
And you've got all the money in the world for NIL. Yeah. I mean, you've got everything on your side. And he gets quarterbacks, but he just does not recruit the state of California very well at all. And that's a huge problem.
All right, Josh, what else you got?
All right, what else do I have? It's a good question. All right, Dave, one last one here.
I'm excited.
If you're the San Antonio Spurs, it's been a rough week. Yeah. You lose arguably the face of the NBA currently in Victor Wembanyama. I never say that. Wembanyama. There we go.
Victor
To something called deep vein thrombosis in his shoulder.
That's dangerous.
Yes, he is out for the year.
Now
it appears we may have seen the last of Greg Popovich in the NBA as a five-time NBA champion coach with the Spurs and has been the coach there since 1996. He did suffer a stroke back in November. He was also inducted in 2023 to the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. Dave, have we seen the last of the legacy that is Pop in San Antonio?
Well, I'll say this. I hope so. If you're having strokes and your health is in jeopardy here, and I know it's hard, Pete, you know this, it's hard to walk away from the game, especially. And listen, Pop has nothing left to prove. He's won championships. He's the winningest coach in NBA history by almost 100 games over Don Nelson. I hope so. I hope that he recognizes that his health is more important and he lives the rest of his life happy and healthy and incredibly wealthy.
Yeah.
Do I think he's done? I don't know. I mean, it's just with these coaches, you never know. You just never know if they're going to have enough. I feel like he's the kind of guy that can say, I've done everything. I'm good. I'll walk away. I don't know him, though. What do you think, Pete?
I'm going to say he's done. I'm going to say he's absolutely done. You know, when you look at him, he doesn't look healthy. He hasn't looked healthy for the last couple of years. He looks his age, you know, and a lot of the time we look at these coaches and we say, wow, that guy looks great for his age. I don't think you say that when you see Pop, and Pop obviously has some health issues going on. So he's had a great career down there in San Antonio, done an amazing job, had some great teams over the years. But I think if he does the right thing, he walks away, and I think he will.
And before we do go to break, I'm going to play just a 20-second clip. Here you go, Pete. Enjoy.
Oh, this is the best.
And then you want to write articles about guys that don't do things right and downgrade them, the ones that do make plays. Are you kidding me? Where are we at in society today? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid. Write something about me.
So good.
I remember that. I do remember that. That was great.
That was so great. That was so great. And I'll forget the quarterback's name, but they went after a kid. And I for my and this has been a long time now, for my 40th birthday, which will be 6 years ago on Tuesday, I wanted to recreate that sketch with I wanted to green screen and make a video. I didn't. but it's arguably, in my mind, it's top five, if not one of the best. Absolutely. Other than maybe Jerry Burns losing his mind.
Somebody named Bobby Reed. I wouldn't know that
Bobby
name because
Reed, yes.
I wouldn't know that because during that era of Oklahoma State football, there's only one player, and honestly, for the last 20 years, that's really come out of that program. That's Dez Bryant. So nobody really knows anybody but Dez Bryant that comes out of Oklahoma State apparently anymore because, well,
except Barry Sanders.
My team kind of kicked their butts for
I mean, Barry Sanders is a good one.
That's like 80 years ago, though.
You can't forget about him. Yeah. I covered Mike Gundy when he played in the when Oklahoma State played in the Independence Bowl when I worked in Shreveport. He's a super nice guy. But we were also – he was really cool. We loved him. So when that happened, that quote – I mean, I just – it was the best.
But Pete, though, great head of hair. Great
yeah,
head
he
of
does.
Hair. Yeah.
Unlike Pete. I will say
no,
this.
No, I said like Pete. Oh. You guys have a similar amount of hair on your head.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, Jerry Burns, just so you guys know, I played for him. One of the greatest guys of all time when he'd walk through the players as you're stretching
Bob
and everything.
Snelker.
Yeah. Jerry Burns.
Oh,
you know the best part about Jerry Burns? He's basically Burgess Meredith from Rocky. And he walks around and he's phenomenal.
Yes.
And that boy, how's it going today, Pete? You know, and
he
all
even
that
looked stuff. Like him.
Looked just like him. He was phenomenal.
One more guy that's really great. And I know we got to go to break. Brad Lane. He's such a great guy.
Good Lord.
I love that guy.
Is your last name Brown? I think it is. Right?
Is he in the studio?
No, he's not. No.
Brad is not here.
No, he doesn't come here on Sundays. No.
Well, it makes two of us. All right, let's take a break. We'll wrap up hour number one next. Well-known fact, the person screaming in that liner is Josh every time Baker Mayfield throws an interception.
That doesn't happen often.
Wait a minute. He does have a tendency.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure him and Mahomes were neck and neck, but okay.
He gets very emotional.
I see a lot of Patrick Mahomes and Baker Mayfield, Dave.
Wait a minute.
Oh, there you go.
There's my shot. That's the winner, always. Yep.
We got some text here to the Talking Text line. Not holding my breath for a successful twin season. Byron Buxton will probably be on the IR after 1 week with Correa.
Yep.
Horrible contracts for both of them. But if that back, you know, back to that really quickly before we dive into some NFL talk here, if he does go to the IR, you know, you got Harrison Bader who can jump in. Which I mean, he's not the worst, he's not the best, but at least he's what's the word I'm looking for here? Passable, serviceable in the spot. I don't know.
You know, Dave, one of the things that I would love to have had a little bit more time with Dan, and I know he had to run. He had a hard out. But
yeah.
I wanted to find out, you know, are they doing anything different for Royce Lewis, for Byron Buxton, for any of the players, obviously, that get hurt? But those two specifically get hurt, it seems like, every single year, and we all just say, well, we knew it was going to happen. Are they doing anything different from a training perspective? And that's the part that I think would be...
And didn't Lewis come in last year and say, like, oh, I've trained so much harder with my legs, and then he tore his quad or something in the third week of the season?
Yeah.
The third week.
And so it makes you wonder, you know, if they're at least experimenting, because they better be. We need those guys in the lineup, and we always know that we need them. But the problem is, how often are they going to be healthy? How many games are they going to miss out of the 182, 162?
Hopefully not a lot, but. We all know how that's going to go. Aaron Rodgers is while we have some time here, guys, Aaron Rodgers is a free agent. Shocker. I can't imagine. I will die on this hill. I don't think he's going to get signed. I really don't. I think.
Steelers?
The idea that.
Oh, my gosh.
But are you really going to bring in a quarterback who's going to try to play general manager? That doesn't work anymore. It just doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that it ever did. I don't see.
Depends on
if
who
I'm
are.
Mike Tomlin, and I'm you know, I've got things going well. Mike Tomlin knows how to run a good ship, man. You know, like there's just you're not going to bring in. I would be if I was him. I'd be like, nope, don't want him. Give me somebody else. Let's go for Matt Stafford. Give me somebody else.
Tomlin's a take no BS kind of guy, though.
Right. Yes, he is.
So that's opposites clashing if that is the case.
Well, you know, when you look at it, though, Russell Wilson, he's free agent. He's probably gone. Justin Fields is probably gone. So now what are you going to do for quarterback? And if Aaron can convince him that Aaron's just going to stick to what he is, and I think Tomlin's the right guy because he's He's very forceful. He's got the reputation. He's got the resume, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that if you're Tomlin, you say, hey, look, here's the deal. We don't want you to be the offensive coordinator, nor are you. No. You're not the quarterback coach. You're not the play caller. You're the guy who's going to execute what we think is the best way to approach this game. And I think a guy like Tomlin has enough swag where that won't be a problem. As a matter of fact, I don't see that at all being a problem. And I think from that perspective, that's what makes Tomlin great. It also makes the Pittsburgh Steelers become very, very relevant immediately after they got him.
I will say, I just searched Steelers QB, and the common picture, the common little side picture they add to the articles and the links are Sam Darnold.
No.
Well, here's the problem with your scenario. I agree with everything you said. Mike Tomlin is that kind of guy. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is that guy. I don't think he will go in there and say, yep, I'll be good, I promise. I'll just play football. You guys take care of the personnel stuff.
I don't know that he would, though, Dave. I think he'd go in there with his ego, who he is, and they'd go back and forth. And I think Tomlin would literally just look at him and say, look, if this is who you are going to be, then we're not going to sign you. This is what your job is going to be.
He may say it. I've never seen that Aaron Rodgers.
Here's the thing, too. You can say, yes, I'll be a good boy.
Right.
And get signed, and then turn that right around once it comes to crunch time. So that's can see true. Where Dave, yeah. the point Dave's kind
of making. It's a possibility. Yeah. Oh, there's no
you
doubt.
You can say one thing and turn around and do something different than that.
I think here's the difference, though. As bad as he might have been, the situation he had in Green Bay, it wasn't awful, but it was. You know, they were going at each other a little bit. So he goes out to the Jets in a place where everybody goes there. It's worse than purgatory. You go there and you have no idea what you're going to do. Yeah, but you know you're not going to go to the playoffs. That's what you know when you go to the Jets. Yeah. And he tried everything. He thought he was the general manager. Remember how many guys that he was in charge of as far as firing and hiring and let's go get this guy and everything else? It seemed like maybe not the worst idea in the world, but it turned out to be the worst idea in the world. And I think what he could do with the Steelers as a player, they've already got Pickens. They've already got all these very talented people, Najee Harris and so forth, if they sign him. I think that's a big deal.
Well, I guess we'll find out. I don't think he has that in him, but I think I see what you're saying. I could see how it could work. I just don't see that it will work. How about that?
That's fair.
All right, we'll take a break. Hour number one is in the books. Has the NHL changed the way all-star games will be played throughout generations? We'll begin the next hour with that.